wind farm. As you look out from almost anywhere along the northern side of the Great Orme, you will see white towers in the sea. These are the Gwyntymor offshore wind farm, which is made up of more than 160 wind turbines. They use the natural resources of the wind to generate electricity for the UK's national grid. Building the wind farm has been a massive undertaking and was done by RWE Energy UK. The project manager, Vince Reed, explains how.
So in the foreground we have our Real Flats wind farm, that's 25 turbines, actually 4 or 5 miles from us as we stand here. And then further away in the back there we have what is Gwyntymor, so that's 160 turbine site, much larger in terms of area, but the same type of turbine, so it's a Siemens wind turbine.
Each of these turbines generates a huge amount of electricity and together provide enough power to meet the energy needs of approximately 400,000 homes, equivalent to about a third of those in Wales. In order to reach our homes, this electricity has to be transferred back to land and to the national grid.
So what we have on any wind farm site is an electrical grid system, if you like, so a series of cables which link the turbines. So in the terms of Real Flats, which is the older wind farm there, those 25 turbines are linked straight back to shore via two cables. Gwyntymor is a much bigger wind farm, and because we've got 160 odd turbines, we actually group those around two offshore, what we call platform substations. And each substation is then connected to the national grid back on shore. We have four cables to do that.
During a project of this size, the building work has to be planned in rigorous detail. You also have to plan for the unexpected, and even the unexploded.
It's a constant challenge out there, not just the weather, but in terms of the site itself, it's a high tidal range, 7 to 8 metres tide, it's got strong currents, and we get other things thrown at us as well. And one of the most recent ones was 3 World War II unexploded bombs we found on the seabed floor. So we sent divers down to confirm what they are. And then we had to go through a process of licensing for the disposal of those. So we go to Natural Resource Wales, we get their permission to detonate these things. And we were thinking all along, I guess they're 70 years old, you know, they can't still be live, surely. And when we came to detonate them, yes, they were, you know, most definitely still live. You can see the effect on the surface of the sea when each of the 3 bombs was exploded underwater.
And of course, the marine and bird wildlife along the North Wales coast is very precious. The construction work for these turbines had to be managed so as not to disturb the marine environment.
We do a full environmental survey and we submit that for the consenting bodies. And in this particular wind farm, we have about 45 different consents before we can even start construction out there. And some of them are quite specific. So things like marine mammals, we have to have observers offshore at all times to monitor for those, to make sure we're not disturbing them. We have certain periods during the year where we can't work, where we have things like spawning fish moving through this particular part of the coastline. So again, we stop construction works for that. So there is monitoring work, not just through the construction period, but there's also an obligation to monitor, you know, throughout the entire operational period of the wind farm.
The road going up from here is commonly known as the Zigzag Road, which leads you up toward the summit, past St Tidnos Church. The audio trail, however, continues down along Marine Drive and to our next point, which is a view of the lighthouse at a 5-bar gate in the seawall.